the subject today is, does God speak to us face to face? Can He speak to us face to face? And do we have an up close and personal relationship with Him? You know, in the scriptures it says that God told Moses, He said, no one can see the face of God and live. And yet, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10, it says, Moses knew God face to face. And in Exodus 33, which is where we're going to take most of this from, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And so I just looked up these terms. The word face means to accept with a desire to know, to highly regard with a mutual sense of respect, favor. So when God speaks to us face to face, we're not talking to someone that is above us. He's not talking to someone that's beneath Him. He's talking to us. He sees us with the same regard, the same respect, the same honor that we see Him with. And when we can get to know each other, then we can begin to communicate in a way that only God wants to communicate with us. And the word friend, He said, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And again, I was surprised. The word friend, the very first definition is an associate, a partner, a colleague, a teammate, a co-worker. And then it says a close companion or an acquaintance, a brother or a lover. So we're talking about someone that's linked together with a purpose. We're walking in close association with Him. Face to face, we have a mutual respect for each other, and we come to the realization that we're in this journey together, and we respect each other's position. And so, you know, a colleague or an associate is different than a hired hand. And most of us have a hired hand mentality when we walk with God. And that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for us to partner together with Him. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it talks about some people that had a hired hand mentality with God. This was the Israelites, and it says, the Lord said, for as much as this people draws near to me with their mouth and with their lips they honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. It's people who realize that God is awesome. They're praising Him, they're worshiping Him, but yet they feel distanced from Him because they have a fear toward Him. But it's not a God fear, it's a man fear. It's not a natural fear in the spiritual realm, but it's a natural fear in our realm, in the way that we look at things. So if you want to talk to God face to face, you can't have this fear toward Him. And the thing that brings that sense of fear is when we look at ourselves and our performance in light of who God is. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see another one that had an unnatural fear, and this was Isaiah when he started out. It says, The angels were standing around the throne and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. When we look at God's glory, His presence, His who He is in comparison with who we are, then we get a picture of God that causes us to want to run, that causes us to see ourselves distanced from Him. And then it says, the angel came to Isaiah with a coal, a live coal in his hand, and he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. When the sin issue is taken out of the way, then you can see God face to face. You can finally communicate with Him the way that He wants you to communicate with Him. And then Isaiah said, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. God has something for us to do, but it's very intimidating if we don't get this issue of our unworthiness out of the way. God wants to speak to us face to face. He wants to speak to us as a co-worker, a friend, an associate. He wants to partner with us in this journey that we have with Him. In going back now to Exodus chapter 33 is where I'm going to spend a little bit of time, because we're going to talk about Moses. Moses experienced some things in his life, and he kind of had that attitude that we develop. You know, Moses started out, I'm sure his mother told him all about everything. He knew who he was. He knew he was an Israelite. And he tried to make some things happen. And remember, he killed two Egyptians and he had to flee for his life. And he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert just learning how to communicate with God. And even that didn't quite get him where he needed to go. God spoke to him out of a burning bush, and he was afraid at first. And then we're going to come to this place in Exodus chapter 33. Starting with verse number 11 is where the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. But in the verse number 12, it says, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. He's already figured out, I can't do this by myself. I don't have what it takes, God. Just like Isaiah said, I don't have what it takes, God. And then he says, and yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. God says, I love you with an unconditional love. But then Moses goes on, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. It's like, I need to know what you know about me, because I don't see things from the same perspective. God sees us different than we see ourselves. He sees us with a mutual respect as one that He's partnering with. And we have to come to a realization of that before we can really partner with Him the way that He wants us to partner with Him. And then Moses says, and consider that this nation is thy people. Sometimes we're faced with a job that we think God wants us to carry out, and we forget that it's really God's job. I need to remember that these are your people. You sent me to do your job, and I'm not going alone. We need to remember what this is really all about. It's not what you and I have to do. It's God's work, and He's just doing it through us. But He has to partner with us in order to get that done. And then Moses says, then God says, and my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And again, I looked up these words and I was surprised, because the word presence means exactly the same thing. It comes from the exact same word as the word face to face comes from. My presence, my partnering together with you will give you rest. It's what settles us. It's what we're able to go on with. And when I looked up the word rest, it means to have comfort and peace. But then it also says to be confederate with. So I looked up the word confederate, and it means to join together in order to execute a plan. And so us joined together with God, with mutual respect, knowing that it's His job, and we're just allowing Him to partner with us, and He's doing the work through us, is what gives us rest. Because when we try to do something that we think He wants us to do, and we don't have that settled in our heart, it's work. And I was just talking to my sister. I said, well, how are things here? She said, well, it's been a journey. And you know, it's through the journey that we learn that we have to partner with Him. It's going to be God or nothing. And we finally come to a place after we've walked through that journey so long to where we just, instead of being like this, we just realize, I'm going to have to relax. Because that's the only thing that's going to take us through this. Relax and let God do His work through us instead of looking at how we need to do things differently. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. And I looked up the word wait, and it means to be twisted together with, as in a cord, all wrapped around together with. So when we finally come to this place to where we become associates and partners with Him, when we allow ourselves to partner with Him, then we can do like Isaiah and say, here I am, send me. You have a job? I'm willing to go. But we go with Him as a partner. Now this is verse number 16. In verse 15 he said, if thy presence go not with us, we're not going. This is what Moses said. But then he says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? What's going to distinguish us from all the other people in the world? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of this earth. What separates us from everyone else is the fact that we are associates with Him, that we're walking together out of a mutual sense of respect. Then God can really manifest His presence through you. But He can't do that if you have this us and Him mentality. All the other people of the world, all the other religions, have an us and Him mentality. They see themselves as less than. They see themselves as a hired hand. God is exalted, and they're down here. But He said, what separates us from all the other people of this world, what get people to notice us in our message, is that we are closely twisted together with God. We're partnering together with Him. And people, you can tell when someone's resting and you can tell when someone's uptight. And you know, people can just sense that sense of rest that you have when you come to this realization that we're partnering together with Him. That He sees me out of a sense of mutual respect. That He's actually my help. He's the one that's equipping me to do this. As we go on, Moses then says, well, first of all, in verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. I will go with you, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then Moses says, show me your glory. I need to see your glory. And God says, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I will manifest myself to you. And then he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. There's a closed place right next to me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and cover thee with my hand while I pass. He said he had to hide him in the cleft of a rock. And I thought about this many times. No man can see the face of God and live. We have to somehow see Him through a shadow. But then, as I was reading this, God just began to speak to me. And He says, I'm the rock of your salvation. I'm your deliverer. I'm your helper. I'm the one that is your fortress. He's the rock. And it's really a type and shadow of Jesus. So if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the glory of God through Jesus, because it's impossible to get the sin issue out of the way where you can look on God, see who He is without feeling shame, unless you examine Jesus. Jesus has to be the one that gives you the right to partner together with God and go and do His work. We get a revelation of who God is through the work that Jesus did for us. That's how we get a revelation of who God is. But how does the world get a revelation of who God is? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 60. Verse number 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord rises upon us when we get a revelation of who He is through the cross. And that word risen means radiates from you. We are the reflecting post that other people see the glory of God through. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. It says God manifests Himself to us, and people see that peace, people see that rest, people see God manifesting His glory through us. And you know, we can't partner with God and really perform the work He's called us to do when we have an us and Him mentality. Because when we do, that's exactly what we reflect to the world. How come so many of us have a hard time grabbing hold of the fact that God loves us unconditionally, that He sees us with favor? It's because we heard words from other people, other teachings, that were the opposite. There is no way that you can get close to God. You better examine yourself and you better watch out, because He's here to get you. And you know, Jesus said, I'm a different kind of servant. You know, in the world, a king exercises authority over his subjects. But He said, it's not that way in My kingdom. In My kingdom, I come to serve the subjects. I see them with that glory and honor, and I'm out there to minister to them. His whole purpose is to minister to us so that we can walk in His glory, so that we can walk in His power and in His might. But first of all, we have to come to that place that Moses came to. And we have to quit comparing ourselves one with another. We have to quit comparing ourselves with ourselves. And we have to quit comparing ourselves to God. So if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 and 13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. We can't compare ourselves with someone who looks better than us, who has it all together. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And we can kind of see the wisdom of that, but we can't compare ourselves with God either. He plays a part. He's an associate. And you know, sometimes associates don't always have the same role. It takes both parts working together to carry out a task. And He's the one that's the head. He's the one that ministers direction to us. And we're the one that is the reflection post. We're associates with him. So we can't compare our role with his role. Sometimes we see people and they try so much to be like someone else. I can try to be just like Mickey, but Mickey doesn't need another Mickey. He needs someone that's different. And God doesn't need another God. He needs exactly who we are. He needs a different part. So he looks upon us with value, with honor. He esteems us, but he's not trying to make us be his part. He's trying to do his part, and we won't let him. And so if we go on now to verse number 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us. He sees us a different way. He's not trying to pull us up to him. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When we let him set us on the rock, when we let Jesus be the one that takes care of all these issues and we respond to that, then we can glory in the Lord. The Bible says God won't share his glory with anyone. And we've read that and we have this sense of fear, boy, I can't, he's there and I'm here. But what he's saying is, I won't share my position of provider with anyone. But I'm willing to share my glory with all of you. He's willing to radiate that glory from us. But he has to do it through Jesus. And you know, how did Moses come to this place where he saw God face to face? It was a journey. He walked through this journey. He learned some things the hard way. And as a mother, I try to keep my kids from experiencing the same pain I did, and I try to avoid them going through what I went through. And I can talk to them, and sometimes it's like speak to the hand, the head doesn't hear you. Oh, and ultimately, every one of us have to walk the journey. We have to come to the same place. It's different knowing things in your head and experientially knowing things. And Moses came to this place that he realized that unless God went with him, he could not go. And he had to get rid of this attitude that, you know, who am I? You can't use me. I stutter. I have all these problems. And realize that he was partnering together with God. He came to know him face to face, and together they could do what God had called him to do. Jeremiah says it this way, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. If you want God to delight in you, then partner up with him. Then allow yourself to walk with him hand in hand. Ask, if you don't feel like you're like Moses did, I know that you favor me, but somehow I don't see it. Ask God to show you. Because this is what brings him the greatest delight. When you finally come to the realization that he wants to talk with you face to face, not as a subservant, not as someone that's he's the head and you're just the hired hand, but he wants to talk to you face to face. He wants to talk to you with the same respect that you talk to him with. We have to be rooted and grounded in his love to realize this. There's no other way to do it. And the song that you sang, I've been identified with Christ. We've been identified with Christ so that we could identify with God and we could walk face to face with him. Now Mickey has some other people to talk about. Moses wasn't the only one that had to come to this realization.
Well, good morning. From my part, let me just ask you a question. With respect to Have you ever felt all alone? Who hasn't, right? Who hasn't felt all alone and felt like, you know, you almost end up asking yourself, God, where are you? You know, you look around because you're in a situation and you're just trying to figure out, oh Lord God, you know, I can't do this by myself. Okay, so we even end up many times almost quoting scriptures to ourselves. You know, God says He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. You know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to convince ourselves almost. You know, bring us back in remembrance of what the actual Word of God says, as opposed to what this circumstance before us is saying to us, right? And so, as we end up quoting the scriptures in these things, these are times that we almost wish that, Lord, if I could only, you know, if I could only feel your presence, if I can only hear your voice, maybe, if I can, you know, the Bible says that He's the rose of Sharon, if I could just smell you, okay? And Lord, if I could ever see you, whoa, that would be awesome. But why do we want these things? Why is it that we are looking towards that? Well, we're, like I said, we find ourselves in a situation, we find ourselves in a circumstance that we know that in and of ourselves, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the know-how, we don't have the ability to get us through this situation, and we don't want to be alone in this situation. Nobody wants to be alone, okay? We want somebody to be there with us. We want somebody to come alongside of us and to help, to really to help us. Amen? So I believe that Moses, you know, in his situation, when he was there with God, okay, and in Exodus, I think Susan has already talked about this, you know, mentioned it, when he found himself, you know, in a situation there, and in Exodus chapter 33, if you have your Bibles, you can take a look with me, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15, and I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible, and it says, "And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up there from here." The Message Bible, I think, has the, you know, has the best one for me. He says, "If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now." You know, he's just straight and to the point. You know, if your presence is not going, just forget about the trip. You know, so, and I dare to say that all of us have been here in these situations in our lives that's caused us to wish that we weren't alone. You know, that we did have somebody. Like Moses said to God, if you don't go, then I'm not going. Now, in this, I want us to take a look now to one of our favorite characters, maybe in the Bible, our friend Job. Go with me to the book of Job. Because you know as well as I do, in the book of Job, go to the very last chapter, chapter 42. And this is the man that was pretty big in a pretty big situation. You know, we know the life of Job, how he went through, how he, you know, had been blessed of the Lord and everything else, and how he then all of a sudden here comes the enemy to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he was trying to do with Job, okay? And all the havoc that basically Job went through. In chapter 42, the very last chapter of Job here, in verse 5, notice what Job says here. In the King James, I'm going to read it in three different translations, but in the King James it says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you." NIV says it, "I have heard you with my ears, and now I have seen you with my eyes." In the Amplified, it says it, "I have heard you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you." And one last translation of the Message that I also included, "I admit I once lived by rumors of you, Now I have all firsthand from my eyes, from my own eyes and ears. So these translations that I've read to you in different ones basically depict more of that personal encounter, with our Heavenly Father. You know, we might, growing up, we might have heard from maybe parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or friends or colleagues, maybe about, you know, about God. So we hear about Him, even maybe certainly in church services, in Sunday school. You may have said like Job, you know, hey, I've heard you by the hearing of the ear. But the thing that God also wants, I believe in with all my heart, is for you and me to be able to say to Him, but now my eye sees you. Now my eye sees you. Now, I believe that when Job told the Lord that my eyes see you, I don't think it was a... this is my own personal thing, so I'll put it in that manner. I don't believe it was a visual seeing from that manner. But I believe more it was a revelation, okay, unto him, how he now is able to spiritually see. By the unction of the Holy Spirit, he was by revelation able to see how true God is to his word. How he is, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. How he ministered unto Job's, not just physical situation, but into his heart of hearts. And Job was able to see with his eye God in that manner. So, as he received that personal revelation, he was then able to see more than he could ever see from a physical standpoint of view. We know that God is a spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth, correct? Amen. So, why was it so important for Job, let's go back to him, to have that personal revelation of God? I think it's the same reason because of you and me. We need it also. You see, I believe that God wanted Job to know and to have that personal revelation of him so the devil could not easily rob him from what he truly already had. And it's the same thing for you and me. Because basically from the moment, if we look, from the moment that Job had that personal relationship of God, things got a whole lot better for him. Things got turned around. God was restoring to him double everything that he ever had. And everything that he had ever lost, that the devil had taken from him. So, when we, in the same manner, receive that revelation, then we're able to keep at bay the enemies that come against us. Through, and I say enemies because the our enemy, the devil, he comes against us, but he comes against us in many, many different ways. So we're able to at least know, again, who we are and be able to resist the devil. Now, with that, let me take a look at another character in the Bible. Man after God's own heart. Okay, let's take a look at the life of David. Because here, David, let's go with me to the Psalm 34, please. David was a man that, you know, had a heart for God. In Psalm 34, this is a psalm written by David, and David had changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed, basically. So, in the very first verse there in Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's how he starts the psalm. But what I want to focus is, go with me to verse 8 there in Psalm 34. Notice what David says here, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord our God is good. This is what David is telling us. He's telling us how he sees the Lord by saying, taste and see. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that David is telling us to go over to, you know, to the Lord and just kind of... taste and see? Let me ask you this. This is where we just came by, the 4th of July. And I know that many of you, you know, maybe had a barbecue or stuff like that, you know, and you had dishes and that you like to eat, and maybe that favorite dessert that your wife or your loved one fixes for you, and you start to talk about it, you know, oh man, that pie that just kind of was all nice and hot, you know, when it's served with the ice cream on top, and you almost can start, what, your salivary glands almost start to cut. Kind of well up, right? And you start to and you almost can taste it, can you not? This is kind of what taste and see, okay? What David is telling us, that as he was experiencing God Almighty, okay, as he was partaking, receiving revelation of God Almighty and his goodness and his blessings and all these things, his grace and his love, never-ending love towards us, he could almost taste it, because it was to him, it was something that was describing something that he yearned and wanted so much. And so he said it, the way that he came and verbalized it was, taste and see how good the Lord our God is. Okay? So we see this. The see is to realize, is to come to know that the Lord is good. So when we savor those things, and when we get that revelation of those things, you know, God works with us in different ways. Why? Because we're all different. Because some people learn, or some people can receive something more by hearing, some others by reading, some others by, you know, other methods, some by a combination of things. But the beautiful thing about it that I've learned is that God, thank you, Lord, He never gives up on me. This hard-headed Puerto Rican sometimes is hard-headed and I can't understand things. But He will find the method by which I can then receive from Him. And He does that with each and every one of us, because He loves us as His own personal children. Amen? And He will stop at no end to get what He wants us to know, for us to know it. He'll send you somebody, He'll do something, He'll cause you to realize and have an aha moment, whatever the case may be. But He will go to no ends, and He will stop at nothing so that we will get to know Him. To have that encounter, to have that seeing moment, because He wants to reveal Himself to us. Amen? So when we can, I believe that when we can see God, when we allow the Holy Spirit basically to open our eyes that we can see God and His presence with us, because God says to us, He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. Amen? Now, as I started the message, you know, in asking the question about, do we ever find ourselves alone? Yeah, we do find ourselves alone. But our feeling of aloneness does not mean that He has left us, because He never leaves us. Even from the book of Genesis, okay, the very first book that we start to read in the Bible, okay, in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, He says, "And behold, I am with you and will keep watch over you with care, take notice of you, and wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all of which I have told you." He's letting them know at the very beginning, I'm not going to depart from you. I'm going to be with you. No matter if you see me or don't see me, I am always with you. In Deuteronomy, he goes on to, in chapter 31, verse 6, be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He said to Joshua in Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. These are the things that we have to remember when we find ourselves in many, many different situations and we find ourselves feeling that we are all alone. And the one that we're very familiar with, I believe, is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I'll read it to you out of the Amplified. For He, God, this is the last part of it, for He, God, Himself said, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Because sometimes we figure we're at that, you know, we're on that cleft and we're holding on and we're holding on. And we're saying, oh God, don't let go now, you know? And He's saying to us, I will assuredly not even let my hold on you even relax a little bit. It's to let us know that God is always with us. And even though in those dark hours, in those dark moments, in those dark situations and everything else, if we are able to have, you know, because sometimes, and I'll have to talk personally, sometimes when I'm in that situation, I can't even think right. So I need someone, okay, like Susan, to come along and put me in remembrance of what God has said, to help me then get my focus not off of this situation, off of what, you know, the devil's trying to do and bring and steal, okay? And put my focus on what God has said, what God has told me, what God has revealed to me. And so then it reverts back to now I can concentrate, now I can focus on Him, and it's the Spirit of God that then is I'm able to hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking those things to me, affirming those things in me, and help me then to be able to go forward in that manner. That's why the body of Christ, I've always said it, we need each other. We need each other. Why? Because we can't go at it alone. But the devil is the one who tells us, hey, you're a man of God, you're a woman of God, man, you don't have to bother this, you don't have to bother them. They're busy with other things, you don't need them, you know, you can do it by yourself. And for us men especially, well, we, you know, we just like to pull up our bootstraps, suck it up, and, you know, try to do it ourselves. But that's the tactic of the enemy. Because if he can keep you isolated, then he can beat you more. And he can steal from you more. But when, hey, the Bible tells us that if one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put how much? 10,000. See, the devil knows those things, okay? But he doesn't want us to exercise those things. Because when we put two to flight and two come together in agreement with something, then it's God on the scene, okay? That's the tactics of the enemy. We're talking about, have we had, you know, have we had an encounter with God? Have we seen God, you know? And sometimes, you know, we feel like, well, how can you see, you know? Well, we've talked about different ones, how they have seen God, how they have encountered God. Okay? The Bible says also in Ezekiel 39:29, neither will I hide my face any more than from them when I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord. He's not hiding from us. He's not keeping himself from us. In fact, he is ever so willing that we would, you know, draw to Him, draw nigh to Him, seek Him, look for Him in every place, because He is there with us, okay? Like Susan was asking at the beginning about having an encounter. Have you seen God face to face? Have you had an encounter with Him? You know? Well, sometimes these, as we've gone over these different people in the past, they have had that encounter, but it's been in a different way. Abraham, as you know, he was a man who trusted, relied upon, and remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it unto him as righteousness, right standing with God. Abraham was a man who was called out, not having any children. You know the story well. But Abraham also, he had to be convinced of many things, of his, you know, of his calling. That's why God told him, you know, He showed him all the stars. He says, hey, as you gaze upon these, so shall your seed be. Something that would give him something to identify himself with. As I go on, we talked about Moses. Susan talked about Moses also. If your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off now, you know. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. That's the way that Moses was. That's the way that Moses portrayed how he saw this, you know, this God, the God of Israel. And God was with him. God was always with him. David, as we see, when David talked to us about, oh, taste and see that the Lord God is good. He had that revelation of God. And one that we hadn't mentioned before was Jacob. Jacob, who he wrestled with the Lord, remember? He wrestled with a man, the Bible says. Wrestled with an angel of the Lord. He said in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, and he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men, and have prevailed. Verse 29. Then Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray, what in contrast is your name? But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And the angel of the Lord declared a blessing on Jacob there. Jacob knew that he could not go forward in what he had to go and do with regards to his brother. Okay? Unless he had a blessing, unless he had something that would help him know that God was with him. And that's when the angel of the Lord changed his name and declared him to be Israel. Job chapter, when we talk about Job, I have heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spirit, my spiritual eye sees you. See, we see that all these men had that encounter revelation with God in one way or the other. They just described it differently. They encountered it differently. But they received from God what they were seeking for. God's presence with them. God's being with them. Now we have the Spirit of God that's within us, in each and every one of us. Because, as we talked about before, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit has been given unto all men. Amen? So as we have received God, we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've received the Holy Spirit that's within us. God tells us He'll never leave us or forsake us. And as Susan pointed out, that we have the glory of the Lord in us, and this is the reflection of whom is in us. Whom is in us. Sometimes we go through our lives, and certainly the enemy, the world itself, tries to do everything. It's almost like, let me put it this way. It's almost, have you ever been to the beach where you were kind of, you know, not right as where all the waves are coming in, but you know, you're about maybe 6-8 feet away, and you write something cool, you know, in the sand there. It looks really nice, and you wish you just couldn't stay there. But what happens? The wave comes in, right? And it erases. Doggone it, you know? So you write it again, and the wave comes in again, and erases again, see? So it's that same thing. The enemy tries to always try to come in and erase what God is writing upon our hearts. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that as a wall, he puts up that wall. And there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Because he keeps that way from coming in and erasing what God has written upon your heart. He starts to remind you of those things that God has written upon your heart. He starts to remind you of who you are upon your, you know, and what God has written upon your heart. And again, I kind of ditto and quote, that's how Susan and I, you know, I just love the Holy Spirit, how he puts things upon, because I have in my notes also to refer back to the song that we sang about being identified with Christ. You know, I am identified with Christ. That's who we have to identify ourselves with. Because as he is, so are we here in this world now. That's how God sees us. Amen? Not as the world sees us, not as our past sees us, and we're described and we're taught and we're, you know, thought of. No, he sees us that way. And the thing about it and the beauty about it is that, as I was saying before, that as the Holy Spirit of God is within each and every one of us, okay, then as we look upon our brothers and sisters, as we look upon each other, we should be seeing Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. We should be having that encounter with God, with each and every one of us. And you know, sometimes we can think about that as an impossibility, but it's not. It's very, very possible. I shared this before, but I believe that it bears sharing with you again. This very personal friend of ours, this pastor in Costa Rica, he shared with us as we were eating with him one evening, with him and his family, and he was just sharing how what God had done in his life. And he loved to go to the parks and just, you know, take a guitar and, you know, sing a little bit and just share with people. Just share the love of God with people. And he took his family, his wife and his son and his daughter. So this Saturday he goes out and as he was going, the Lord says, okay, today I want you to minister to drunks. And he says, well, okay, I'll, you know. So he brought his family. They went to the park. They set up, you know, a little place in the corner there. And he says, okay, I'll be back. I'm going to go find some people to minister to, basically. So he walked by these two drunks, and these two drunks were, they were smelly, they were drunk, and they were really, you know, so he walked by them. And it's, you know, the Holy Spirit says, no, them. And he says, them? He said, yeah, them. So anyway, he goes back to him. He says, good morning. You know, hey, would you like some breakfast? I'd love to buy you some breakfast and stuff. Oh, okay. You know, so anyway, he brought him back to where his wife and his children were. And he says, wait right here. I'll go get you some breakfast. So he went and got him some coffee and some bread and some other snacks and stuff. And so he came back and, they were eating their breakfast. And so he gets his guitar and he just starts to, you know, play some praise and worship, you know, type of music. And one drunk, he says, hey, do you know this song? And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know this one, but, you know, I know this other one, you know. He says, okay, that's fine. So he continues to sing along. So they, you know, they were eating their breakfast, and finally they finished their breakfast, and he was continuing on, and he finished this one song, and one of the drunks said to him, one of the gentlemen that was drunk, said to him, he says, boy, today I saw God. And you know, my pastor friend, he thought, well, you know, he still got the effects of the alcohol, and he says, so, but he just felt to ask him. He says, oh, where, you know, tell me where you see God, you know, where did you see God? And he kind of looked around like this, you know, and he says, no, I saw God in you. If God can do that for a person who's intoxicated, he can do that for each and every one of us. He can open up our eyes to be able to see and have that encounter with God. Let me finish the story and you'll understand what it did for these two men. So my pastor friend you know, he was blessed, certainly blessed, and he has a friend of his that runs a kind of like a rehab place, and you know, where people go, and it's actually, you know, just kind of almost like a shelter. I'll put it that way. It's a shelter, more or less. So he calls the lady at the shelter place, and he says, "Look, I have these two gentlemen. You know, can you bring them?" "Sure, bring them." And so he took them to the shelter place. They went to the shelter. He left them there in good hands and everything. The next week, he goes to the park again. But on the way to the park, he stops by and just wants to check on these two gentlemen. Okay, so he finds them. And basically, he goes to the door and knocks on the door to the shelter place. And one gentleman, he answers the door and there, and he says, "Hey, may I speak to such and such? You know, the director lady." And she says, "Yeah, she's in the back." And the man looked at the pastor, and he says, "You don't recognize me, do you?" And so the pastor kind of looked at him and says, "Well, to be honest with you, no, I don't." He says, I'm one of the two that you brought here last weekend." The man was clean shaven, bathed, nice clothes and everything. And he says, "Oh wow, that's cool, you know." And so he goes off and he comes back the third Saturday. He comes, stops by again. And so the lady that runs the place for the shelter answered the door this time. And so he asked about the two gentlemen. And she says, "Well, no, they've left already. They've gone." And he thought to himself, "Oh my gosh, you know, have they gone back on the streets or something?" He said, No. They're down here. They're down the road here. There's an old folks home. And they're down there. They've been working down there, feeding and working with the older gentlemen in that rest home area, taking care of them." These two men come to find out that they had been pastors in Nicaragua. This was Costa Rica. They had come from Nicaragua because things were tight as far as financial. They had come to Costa Rica to try to find work so that they could, you know, have money to send back home and help their families and everything. The enemy had come to steal, and they had ended up on the streets, basically, you know, drunk and having nothing. And God came along and restored them, helped them to get their lives back in order so that they could then return to Nicaragua and continue pastoring and ministering what God had called them to do. All through this one person that just was what? Just a reflection of Jesus to them, a reflection of God to them. Did he do it for that reason? No, he just did it because it was the love of God that was flowing through each and every one of us. And so, yeah, we have encounters, you know, with people, but we have encounters with God also. We just, you know, it comes about in different ways because we're all different. And God, he wants to meet our differences. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we just thank you today. We just thank you today for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness over us, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you in any time. In a time of need, in a time of help, in a time of joy, in a time of sorrow, in any time, we can come before you. And Lord, receive from you all that you are, all that you have for us, Lord. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit that's within us will minister to us, will open our eyes to be able to see beyond the physical, but into the spiritual, and see people, see your creation the way that you see them, the way that you want us to see them, Father, so that our light would shine unto them. Our light, Father, would go forth unto them. And Father, that we may truly be that light that you would have, and the hope of glory, Father, that is within us as Jesus Christ shines forth. Father, I pray for every need here today, every physical need, every spiritual need, every financial need, every need that there is in this house, every need that is in this house represented in every family member represented in their extended families here. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every physical need right now. We call healing, and that person healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We call financial blessings over this congregation and every family member and extension and extended family. We pray blessings upon them. We pray the peace of God that passes all understanding upon them, Father. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that we can be that light, that we can be that hope that you want us to be, Father. That we can start to see things, Father, through your eyes and be able to minister unto those brothers and sisters and those that are yet to be our brothers and sisters, Father. Yet to be your children, Father. But Father, minister to all your creation, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father. As your love grows more and more in us, Father. As, Lord, you reveal yourself to us, Father, in the way that you want us to know you, Father. In the way that we can identify ourselves through Christ Jesus. Because we are identified with him. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. As we see ourselves seated together in heavenly places with you, Father, in Christ Jesus, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen and amen.